Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
We're picking upsets. College football playoff begins in 2 days, everybody. Sound the alarms. Friday is when we get our first matchup, Pearl. And you and I are looking at this bracket. First time there's ever been 12 teams in the college football playoff, and we are circling some massive upsets.
Yeah, I'm watching this SMU-Penn State game in part because Penn State doesn't have any depth at quarterback, which is one of the unique twists of this whole college football playoff system. Follow the money, Maggie. Who's leaving for the transfer portal? And will this affect any of the teams? Bo Perbula, the Penn State backup, gone.
And a backup who we saw a little bit this year, right? Had to come in relief of Drew Aller, had to win a game for them in Wisconsin. He had played a massive role in Penn State's. He's part of the story. You can't tell the story of the season without their backup quarterback. And because of the way that the just idiotic college football schedule works in terms of transfer portal opening, and it's going to close on Sunday. So if you want to transfer, but your team is playing this weekend, you're basically SOL. So when Drew Aller, the starting quarterback for Penn State, decides, I want to come back and play another season, of course the backup quarterback's going to want to transfer, and no one would blame him for that.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I mean, I think the real risk is that a starting quarterback at one of these schools down the road says, you know what, I'm good, I'm going to leave. Because, again, 12 teams, like, if you're, say, SMU or Indiana, like, you might not think you're going to win this whole thing. Everybody in college football now wants to get paid. Like, if you have a good season, you're going to want a whole new collective deal, an NIL deal.
But here's my question about that. I get where you're coming from, and we will pick our upsets for you in just a moment. But if you are playing in the 12-team college football playoff, doesn't this mean your school's got money for you?
Not always. Really? No, I mean, I think there's a free agency aspect, a market aspect to it. Like, if you get into the open market, I think that you could make more money by flirting with other teams. Like, that's like one thing for people out there who want to get more money in their job. Like, the best way to make more money is to jump around to different companies.
I totally get it. But there's also a way that you become more valuable to your company now if you're in the college football playoff than you ever were before. You know, there's also a theory where you could say, listen, if I'm, you know, I'm now Curtis Rourke or whatever, you gotta pay me now. Look at what just happened. You paid your head coach, and I you know, I came to Indiana from, where was he, Ohio University? And, like, you can't afford to let me walk out the door. There could be that aspect to it. I like the free market, though. Like, I want these young men to make as much money as they can. But there's another aspect to it, too. Like, Drew Aller, Penn State, can they move on? I don't think they can move on from him.
I don't think
they're in the college football playoff.
Drew Aller and Penn State might be different. I'm looking, you know, let's take SMU. Kevin Jennings wasn't even supposed to start at SMU, so probably doesn't have a big deal. You're saying, and I'm always, the first team that jumps to mind, right, is Miami.
Yep.
Like, Miami, there's not someone in Miami who's going to say, like, I want to pay $5 million for that guy? Like, SMU and Indiana aren't going to maybe have that money.
I don't know. I mean, are we doing revenue sharing? Are we going to, is everyone going to make a certain amount of money and then you have to allocate it to your quarterback? And that's just sort of the way it goes. Some teams in the NFL are playing their quarterback $60 million and some are paying them $5 million. It just happens.
You can come up with all the salary caps and revenue sharing you want. You're telling me that a team like Indiana is going to have the same money as a team like Georgia? No. If they have to go under the table, they will. Like, trust me, the big schools are going to get the quarterbacks. And if, say, next year there's a guy at a sort of a mid-level college who comes out of nowhere and has a massive year, what's to stop one of the giant SEC schools by saying, we'll triple your money, come here?
Yeah, I it's a tough dilemma. This is why the calendar has to change, because you don't want a starting player having to say, listen, I've got to maximize this window I have, and I've got to abandon my team now in the middle of the playoff. And it's unfortunate situation. Because the funny part is the coach, you feel like, wouldn't ever have to do the same thing, would they? Like, again, Kurt Cignetti, he gets signed earlier this season, the Indiana coach. Like, they're not letting him out the door.
Well, it is funny. So Cignetti and Lashley both re-signed SMU's coach. I'm just curious, like, yeah, you better re-sign that guy, because you know that everybody's sniffing around them.
Yeah, right. So it could work both ways. Yeah. There could be a little, like, hey, we're going to sign you and keep you off the market, too.
Yeah, maybe they bought one more year, because I think both those guys, well, maybe not Cignetti because he's older, but definitely, like, Rhett Lashley, I'm sure that the SEC is looking at him very intensely right now.
I also, we don't have a lot of these NIL contracts. I know you're friends with some people who do this for a living, Perloff, so maybe you have the answer here, but, you know, do they not include the bowl game? Hey, here's your marketing deal. But it means you have to play the postseason game as well to get the full freight.
Yeah, that's a great question. Like, one of the ways that they keep you from transferring on your current NIL deal, say it's only valid if you do these deals in Texas or Georgia, like they add geography into it. I'll bet you you're right. I have no idea. I mean, every contract is different. I don't think anyone knows. Isn't it the Wild West out there?
It is, but I'm not gonna lie. My eyebrow did raise a little bit when I saw Cam Ward was playing in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Like, this guy's about to be the number one or number two pick in the draft. He's playing in the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
So you think,
delicious.
But
I mean, it is delicious.
But that was at an existing deal. Like, I'm sure that there's more money coming his way.
I don't know. Or did he sign a deal that said, hey, you've got to play all the way till Miami's last game of the season, maybe, whether it's the Pop-Tarts Bowl or it's the Peach Bowl.
Interesting. Yeah, it is weird that Cam Ward is playing in that game.
It is the most delicious bowl, though, Manny. Well, I'll give you that.
It's a toaster in the trophy now.
Yeah, nothing says serious trophy like having a piece of kitchen appliance in it.
What was that bowl game last night? I never heard of that company. Scooter's Coffee? Did anybody ever heard of that?
I've only heard of it through the bowl.
Yeah.
It's doing its job, because I had no clue what that was.
Is it something you buy at the grocery store, or is it a coffee shop? I have no idea.
I think you buy the coffee. I feel like I've seen Scooter somewhere.
Can you imagine an individual coffee shop buying a college football bowl? It feels like it'd be out of their budget.
I met a chain.
what was that coffee shop at Curb Your Enthusiasm? The one that he was trying to battle, Cup of Joe's or whatever.
Yeah,
the Cup of Joe's bowl.
It would happen. As far as upsets are concerned, I'm circling in on Clemson here. And I love watching Texas. It's not about that. I'm looking at the path, and I'm looking at Dabo Swinney, who's won two national championships before, coached in big games. I'm looking at Texas, who has not beat a top 25 team. I am looking at the fact that if Clemson can get by Texas, then they have Arizona State, granted one of the hottest teams in the country, but they have Arizona State waiting for them. And on the bottom half of that bracket, you have Tennessee and Ohio State. Winner plays Oregon. Maybe one of those teams upsets Oregon. So maybe you get an even, air quotes, easier path where you're playing the lower seeds. That's why I would target Clemson here if I was going to pick a team with an upset that has a chance to make it actually all the way to the title game.
Love it. They're a hot team, kind of hot. I mean, they look good against SMU.
Yeah, until SMU came back in that game. But yes, and again, it's about the big game and big coaching experience. You're looking at SMU?
Yes. I mean, I don't feel perfect because it's in state college. I like Clemson. I think the spread is insane on that Clemson game.
10.5.
I saw even more than that at one point. Yeah, I feel like that is a good bet. I know we're doing our bets on Friday. We're going to fight over that one. The rest of, you know, so these touchdown spreads in college, like, these games could go either way. I think we're going to have close games, so that's the best part.
No doubt. All right, it is Wednesday. Let's get to the great debate.
The Great Debate Series.
All right, guys. In honor of college football, today's great debate. What is the greatest play in college football history? Think about it. Let that sink in, wash over you. All the famous plays that we've had over the years. The greatest play in college football history. What stands out? What's the winner? Perloff, you want to start?
Yeah, so I know we have to go quickly. We have a special college football guest coming up. But to me, it's called the play, but I call it the band is on the field. It's got to be Cal Stanford.
Rodgers along the sideline, another one. They're still in deep trouble at midfield. They tried to do a couple of... The ball is still loose as they get it to Rodgers. They give it back now to the 30. They're down to the 20. Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. He's going into the end zone. The Bears have won. The Bears have won. Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Absolutely. I was actually researching a little bit last night. There's a little twist here. John Elway, who was a Stanford quarterback, called the timeout too early on what would have been the game-winning field goal. He caught it with 8 seconds left. If he had let it run down to 4 seconds, there would have been no kickoff. So Elway screwed this up. It was last year at Stanford. They didn't make a bowl game, huge game, and it's iconic. The guy housed a tuba player. Does anyone else have that in their play? That's the best thing ever.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. But I actually think that I can top it. I'll give you another rivalry game. I'll give you the Iron Bowl, where Alabama's ranked number one. Auburn was ranked number four. The BCS was still a thing here. So top five team, you had a spot of the SEC championship game on the line. You had a potential spot of the BCS championship on the line. Auburn climbs back into the game to tie it 28-28, 32 seconds left. And there was a point when Nick Saban actually had to challenge the timekeeping call. So a little bit like yours. To put a second back on the clock, That's when the Crimson Tide lined up for a potential game-winning 57-yard field goal, and then this happened.
All right, here we go. 56-yarder. Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it to the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight. Holy cow.
In my mind, they're hugging and jumping around as they're making this call. That's always what I think. In my mind, and obviously Auburn goes on to win the SEC championship. They go on to play Florida State. They lost to them in the BCS national championship game. So that play, your jaw is on the floor forever. The kick six, that is the greatest play in college football history. EJ, you're up.
All right, so when we think about great plays, you want to think about iconic moments. In fact, Heisman moments. Maybe this is the first one ever. Things that came into our lexicon forever, like Hail Mary. These are the things that were established when my beloved Miami Hurricanes, I was not born when this happened, but they lost to Boston College on Doug Flutie's famous Hail Mary toss to the end zone.
Flutie flushed. Throws it down. Caught by Boston College. I don't believe it. Oh. It's a touchdown. The Eagles win it.
Unbelievable.
I don't believe it. Phelan is at the bottom of that pile. Here comes the Boston College team. He threw it into the end zone. There was no time left.
I mean, when you think of the definition of Heisman moment, that is what you think about. Doug Flutie. Again, now Hail Mary is something that we talk about all the time. This was kind of the first one, I feel like. So to me, Doug Flutie, without question, greatest play in college football history.
First college one.
What's another pro?
What's the famous one? Drew Pearson. And the Cowboys.
Yeah. Cowboys. Come on, get out of here, bro. You're an Eagles fan. You're not supposed to acknowledge that. Boston College Eagles.
There we go. So we're doing our great debate as we do every Wednesday at this time. And we're asking you today the greatest college football play of all time. Manny, did you pick one you were alive for or no?
Yes, I did in fact pick one I was alive for. I was 10 years old. I'm wearing my Penn State sweater today, so any chance that I get to dig at Michigan, I will go ahead and do that.
It's already. The snap's good. The whole
block!
The kick's
good!
The kick is good! The Mountaineers are going to try to take it.
It's
to the big house!
Johnson to the big house!
20! 15! The Mountaineers have just beaten the Michigan Wolverines! The Mountaineers of Appalachian State have just beaten the Michigan Wolverines in the big house.
September 1st, 2007, 10 years old, yours truly was. And yeah, that was one of my first memories of college football. FCS school, App State, going to the big house and upsetting fifth-ranked Michigan, knocking them out of the top 25. And little did I know that would be some good times.
Manny, I love it. You know, it's funny, for the two that I was alive for three. What year was yours, been on the field?
81, maybe?
I think it might have been. Yeah, it was 81 or 82.
Okay. No, because Elway was in the 83 draft, and it was his last year, so it was January 83 or December 82.
I was alive for three out of four of these, and the ones that I remember, the kick six and then Appalachian State beating Michigan, you remember exactly where you were. I remember everything about watching it, where I was, who I was with, everything that was going on, and that's why these are some of the greatest plays in college football history. That's our great debate today.
Greatest. That sounded like AI on your call. Manny, like the fact that you had the best, the craziest announcers gives you an upper level. I mean, we all had crazy, crazy calls. That was ridiculous.
Nothing better than FCS school radio guys going crazy when they'd
never heard
call.
That. I'd never heard that. I'd heard all the other calls. I'd never heard that. That was crazy.
Man, all right. So there you go. There's the options. The greatest college football plays of all time. Cal Stanford, November 20th, 1982. Not alive for that one. Tell us what you think. There's a lot left out there.
Oh yeah, there's a particular market that we left out that I feel bad about.
And I think they're probably shaking their fist at us right now. And it rhymes with Schmoisey Schmate.
Collecting blue turf to hide our way.
You think they're over Ashton Gentry losing the Heisman?
Probably not. 855-212-4227. A great debate. The greatest college football play of all time. Let us hear it.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Great Debate Wednesday. Greatest college football play of all time. I went with the band is on the field, Maggie.
I went with the kick six, Auburn over Alabama in the Iron Bowl, Chris Davis.
I went with Doug Flutie's Hail Mary versus my beloved Miami Hurricanes.
And I went with App State beating Michigan on that block field goal.
Okay, let's get the thoughts of our next guest, Bud Elliott. We love him on the Cover 3 podcast, 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ. He does it all. Bud, thanks so much for the time. How you doing?
Doing well, y'all. College football playoffs starting, so exciting. Maggie, I'm with you on the play, by the way. I think it's got to be kick six.
Right. I mean, all of everything that happened after, too, the fact that you would beat Alabama, Auburn goes on to win the SEC, play in the national championship game. They lost to Florida State. It's an all-time great call, great gaffe by a legendary coach, you know, in Nick Saban. The play's got everything. I mean, but I think we're hoping we're going to get an all-time play once this college football playoff kicks off. Do you see an upset in these first four games?
You know, to be honest, y'all, I think all four games are upsettable, if that's a word I can invent here on this Wednesday morning. I mean, if you look at some of these like power ratings, right, there are 14 teams from the last 5 years that are rated higher than anybody this season. Like, this is a sport now that the talent is so spread out because of the transfer portal, because guys aren't going to wait 3 or 4 years to play. I mean, now everybody has players. Now, I mean, maybe not all have like Oregon or Ohio State or, you know, Georgia-level players. But everybody's got guys who will probably play pro ball of some sort. You know, like in Indiana, you'll see on Friday night, they got some guys who could give Notre Dame's offensive line some trouble. I mean, are we sure that Texas should be a 10-point favorite over Clemson? Like, has Texas shown us this year against anybody with a pulse that they can blow them out and win by margin? I think all four of these games actually could, in theory, have an upset.
But it's funny, when this whole 12-team playoff team started, people were worried about blowouts, like some Georgia TCU situation. Do you think that's will it always be narrow like this because of the transfer portal and NIL?
I don't know if it will always be, but I thought that concern at the time was apt. But just the fact that the talent is so much more spread out 2 years basically after we implemented this, I think we're going to see a lot more close games now than we did in the four-team playoff, especially because like the best teams for the most part are getting those byes. So you're not like having like a 12 play a one in the opening round where you'd see a point spread of 17 or 20. But like think about it. That TCU Georgia team, like where Georgia won by a million, everybody went to bed by halftime. That TCU team still earned their way into the national title by upsetting Michigan. So even back then, it was like, oh, blowouts, but we did have upsets from time to time.
Bud Elliott is joining us to talk about college football. The college football playoff kicks off on Friday, everybody. I mean, this thing is happening. It's right here in our faces. Meanwhile, though, Bud, there's been some players who've had to make some tough decisions, including two prominent backup quarterbacks and Bo Prabula from Penn State and Malachi Nelson from Boise State, two backups who have decided to go into the transfer portal, even though their seasons aren't over. You know, I think everyone believes this has to be fixed. How is it going to be fixed? Is it just as simple as moving the transfer portal and not opening it up until after the season's over?
It's a great question, and I think it's implicit with the issues of the sport in that we are continuing to tie like the system to the academic calendar, which if you want to like say, hey, these guys are part of the school system, which they go to class and stuff, it's hard to kind of get away from the academic calendar. And thus, if you want to make it so you can't transfer until like the spring, good luck surviving a court challenge there where it's like, hey, you, student, have to stay, and non-employee, right, because the schools and the programs don't want these guys to be employees for financial reasons. You have to stay at this school until the end of April, right? Like, I don't know what courts would be like, yeah, that seems right. You guys want to say they're not employees, but yet you want to have this kind of dominion and control over their movement. So I don't know what a great solution is for this unless you put them on contracts. And then, just like we all are, like I can't just jump to another network mid-season, right? But they kind of want to have their cake and eat it too by maintaining that they're non-employees. So I don't think there is a great solution to this under the current construct of the sport.
But I'm curious how these negotiations are going. Yesterday, the headline, the Alabama quarterback Jalen Mbakwe goes in the portal, then comes right back to Alabama. Is this just like NFL free agency where everyone's playing the market and money offers are flying left and right?
Pretty much, yeah. A lot of times, like you try to handle it kind of behind closed doors, but then if the school is going to lowball you, or if you perceive their offer as a lowball, then you have your agent float out that I'm going to enter the portal. And a lot of times, it's not really an actual entering of the portal. You just put the graphic out on social media because like the portal process takes a bit. You got like there's actual paperwork to fill out, and you don't just say like, "Hey, I'm in the portal." I mean, you may be, but you actually have to like submit paperwork and whatnot. So I don't know if he actually even went into the portal or not. I assume he did, but a lot of times just a graphic, and then the school's like, all right, hey, let's chill there, because there's a PR thing for the schools as well, right? You don't want to be seen as losing some of the top players, especially not ones that you invested in pretty heavily out of the high school ranks just a year ago.
Yeah, I thought that Photoshop graphic made it official. You're telling me those people aren't really in? Once I see that graphic, I don't know, is the same person making that graphic for everyone? I'm very curious about this graphic.
There are a couple guys who crank out these graphics. No, I've got some friends who work in compliance at various schools, and I'm like, this kid's in? They're like, no, dude, he just put it on social media. He hasn't even come see us. Like, okay.
Bud Elliott is joining us. I always assume that entering the portal is kind of like entering the Matrix. Like, you just kind of Neo's there, and you just kind of roll around a little bit until somehow you get paid $5 million from Ohio State. Speaking of which, Bud, in terms of coaches, listen, it's like, congratulations, you make it to the college football playoff. Now, if you lose a game, are you back on the hot seat? And I'm looking specifically at Ryan Day or maybe a James Franklin or someone like that who just making it into this bracket is not good enough. Like, for James Franklin, if he loses this game to SMU, a home game in Happy Valley, I mean, do they just say, turn in your iPad and you're out of here?
I think fans would be pretty annoyed with James Franklin if they did lose a home playoff game. He's got a huge buyout and has done a pretty good job. If I was Penn State, I'd be real careful on that. I'd be like, wait a second. How much better do we really think we're going to be? Like, the main gripes are that you don't beat Ohio State very often and you kind of rarely beat Michigan. But everybody else, you handle your business. Like handling your business sounds easy. It's not, right? Like, we see upsets across this sport. And Penn State almost never loses as a favorite. I mean, he's cranking out, 9-10 wins a season. Like, to me, that's pretty good for Penn State. Of course, fans always want more. Of course, you're going to fundraise off the idea of hope and wanting more. But ultimately, think the potential downside risk for Penn State for making a move there would really outweigh the potential upside risk. Ryan Day, that's a little different. I don't think he's on the hot seat. I don't think folks in Columbus have any interest in making a move there. But lose that ballgame in Tennessee and come ask me again, because then maybe they would, right? This is a roster. We know that they had one of the most expensive rosters in the country. This was kind of one of their all-in seasons. They got a lot of important guys to come back, especially on the defensive side of the football, who decided not to go to the NFL draft because Ohio State paid up to keep them. And if you're losing Oregon, Michigan, Tennessee, and you beat Penn State, you're kind of 1-3 against the teams that are like seriously in as far as spending for talent this year. Like, that's not going to be good enough for them.
If, say, Ryan Day was let go, would that mean that somebody like, I'll say like Rhett Lashley or somebody who just signed an extension would be in play? Like, what would happen to the coaching carousel?
I think that would be one that could turn it like a totally on its head. With the one exception, there was some chatter yesterday on social media. I have no idea how like legit this is, of like a Mike Vrabel. So obviously, if Vrabel was to go there, if for some reason they did make a move on Ryan Day, hypothetically, then that wouldn't really do much to the coaching carousel because it's not going to create that domino effect. You know, if you had a major coach like leave a big time school to go there, that's how we really get these crazy carousels, because then it's just, you know, domino effect. You start one, and the rest fall.
Any, it's now called the Belichick effect.
Yeah. Any Urban Meyer chance there? Any way Urban gets back into coaching?
I'd be surprised if they went back to the Urban Meyer well. I don't really see that happening at this point. We also don't know how Urban would handle guys who have, like, they're making big-time money now. Like, some of these guys were really good in an era where they had, like, total control over the players. Now they only have, like, partial. So I don't know how well Urban would translate nowadays. Like, we know in the NFL – he was terrible. And college is closer to the NFL now than it is to what it used to be under Urban.
Bud Elliott's joining us for just another minute. You got college football playoff games that are kicking off this Friday and Saturday. Now, Bud, we know you dabble into the betting world. A little more than that, you guys have a thing called Sicko Mode. You are betting on schools I barely heard of. I wouldn't be surprised if you guys were betting on that high school game that was so crazy last night that was on TV. I believe that was in Texas. Do you have any locks for us? I know that's the name of your pod you guys do during the week, but if you were to give our audience one of your locks, what is it?
I think I'm going to take a piece of Clemson here. I just really haven't seen Texas beat somebody soundly with a pulse. Like, they blew out UF. That was UF on quarterback number three after the backup got hurt. They beat a Kentucky team pretty badly, and Kentucky was in disarray. You know, they smoked Mississippi State, but you know, Mississippi State was on QB2, and that was the first week that they had their new quarterback in. So I think some of the metrics are not necessarily picking up on the quarterback play that Texas has faced. And you know, Cade Klubnik has been good this year, and I think they can score a little bit on Texas, and we'll see if Texas can score enough to actually win by margin. So I'll take Clemson.
But have you made a championship pick yet? Who's coming out of this thing?
I think Oregon, just because they have the guys who can change the numbers on the scoreboard out at receiver, especially if they're all healthy. And I think their D-line is really damn good. Like, they spent big time in the portal this offseason, and they got the returns they wanted. Both the guys they went out and got, they can play, and they've played well, and they've stayed healthy.
Bud Elliott, Bud, this last one for you quickly. How's Belichick doing so far in his couple days as North Carolina head coach? I saw he was on McAfee on Monday saying how busy they are. They're recruiting, brought a quarterback recruit out to the basketball game. Like, how's Belichick doing so far?
Doing well. I think like they've hit the ground running. I think they're going to do fairly well. Like, the ACC is pretty winnable if you're North Carolina. And I assume Belichick wouldn't take that job if the Tar Heels had not committed some pretty serious resources, you know, to being good there. So I think he'll do well, and he is getting off to a nice start.
Bud, thanks so much for the time. Listen to you on the Cover 3 pod, 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports, of course. And it's a fun time of year. Thanks, Bud.
See y'all.
Appreciate that. Bud Elliott, let's turn to Chris Lopresti, who's with us. Chris, Wednesday's Great Debate. Today we're doing the greatest college football play of all time.
Yeah.
You've been thinking about one?
Well, I said to EJ, he's like, you want to take part? And I had forgotten that it was on the rundown today. So I was like, why don't you guys just handle it? But I would say this. I probably would have landed on one of the ones that you guys selected already. So I don't think I have anything unique to bring to the table.
Okay. You weren't going to hit us with a little Boise State?
No. I think I probably would have gone the direction you went, just off the top of my head. But I did enjoy the audio that Manny's call provided. That was good stuff.
Appalachian State beating Michigan. All-time great call. But all of these, the radio calls were awesome.
Almost as good as Manny's call of that Was it? It's college basketball or high school basketball?
That was high school basketball.
That was unbelievable.
I don't think they're familiar with.
Are they not?
I would have thought for sure you guys
would have played this on the air.
We play Manny's call like during every one of our breaks on our YouTube stream, don't we?
All right.
Yeah. We got Manny's call.
I was going to say.
Manny's hanging around with Woj, who's at these high school games now, scouting for St. Bonaventure. We've already lost Manny.
When I first heard that, I was like, wow, this is, I didn't know initially that it was him, because of course then I'd be biased, you know, because I know the guy, we work here. And I was like, that's him? It's unbelievable.
Manny's a talent.
He's that good.
We saw it. We recognized it. We said, you got to not do that anymore and come and do what we need you to do.
Stop being so good at that and come join our team.
This is not the Belichick, you know, do your job. This is do the job we need you to do.
That's right. That's right.
Thanks, guys.
Like reminding Perloff that Boogie Flan is a person every 2 months.
Yeah, there it is. Boogie Flan, Arkansas, freshman.
Oh, there right.
Local kid.
I was looking at you too. Like,
that blank stare can only mean one thing. That means Perloff loved this guy a week ago and has no idea who he is today.
No, I think that I'm just curious now. Is Manny's call and include this Boogie guy? Because I have no idea what Manny's call is.
Went to that school. That's how this all began. He went to the school that Manny made the call for.
Nope.
None of this.
Not ringing any bells.
Nope. Not ringing a bell.
It's you know, EJ, you said, I love this bit. Not a bit.
Yeah, I know. Real life. Not. Honestly, that's true.
So well, it's a bit for the rest
Boogie
of you.
Boogie Flan's going to walk across the NBA draft stage, shake Adam Silver commissioner's hand, Commissioner Adam Silver's hand, and Pearl's going to be like,
I like that guy.
Boogie Flan. Name rings a bell,
nope,
maybe?
Won't even say rings a bell.
He'll just say, huh.
Huh. You know who I like?
Curious name, that Boogie.
So what's happening here? What are you guys talking about? I honestly...
I'm not really sure myself, because, you know, I parachute in and out.
We will,
you know,
play
a polarizing dessert? Flan.
Why is it polarizing?
Where did that
A lot of people don't like flan.
And it pisses me off so much.
You don't like flan?
I'm not sure I've ever had flan.
I like it, but a lot of people don't like that. They don't like... Creme brulee, like that is definitely a polarizing dessert.
I mean,
EJ, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Sit next to me. I don't like it. Can't do the texture.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Maggie doesn't like flan.
Do not like it.
She likes Boogie Flan.
There you go.
Not flan.
Flan is delicious.
Flan. How does that differ from creme brulee?
I don't like either.
No, but what, like, what's the difference? How do
creme brulee is like, it's like a...
Top is a little harder.
The top is like
the sugar that they caramelize on top of it.
Okay.
Kind of have to break through the sugar to get down into the, like, pudding.
Oh,
I don't love pudding.
And flan doesn't have that top portion?
It may, but
I'm looking at pictures of flan. It looks like there's some kind of top
but it's not
caramel.
It's not hard, though.
Okay.
It's not caramelized.
So a little softer variety.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right.
They're both delicious.
It looks good.
Maggie's doing over there.
Can't do it.
What don't you like about it?
Texture.
Okay.
The taste is fine.
Yeah, I can understand. Texture. Especially when you're dealing with desserts, you know?
I think I'm more of a crunchy person.
All right. I can respect that.
Mm. No, so chocolate pudding out?
No, thanks.
Oh, my God. I've never met anyone who didn't like chocolate
pudding.
Are you
not an ice cream person?
I mean, I can very easily say no to ice cream. There's a lot of things I cannot say no to. Ice cream is one of them. I can take it or leave it.
Are you one of these cookie over cake person then?
Because
cookies usually have a little more...
I do love a cookie.
Yeah.
Maybe I am a cookie over cake person. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I gotta be honest.
Nothing more un-American than saying I don't like ice cream.
That's what I was about to say.
I've never heard anyone ever.
I'm a secret Russian spy.
No one has ever not liked ice cream. Have you guys ever heard of anyone not liking ice cream?
I've never heard of this before.
It's not that I don't
like
it.
Lactose intolerant people.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of people who can't eat it.
I know people who are lactose intolerant who suck it up and eat ice cream anyway.
That's
it's so good.
Yeah, it's not that they don't like it. They just have to. They know the right move is to not have it.
And then you just sit in the bathroom for an hour?
Yeah.
Scrolling on your phone.
I could take or leave ice cream. What is the matter with you?
I just don't. I don't love it.
She told you she textures. She like crunch. There's no crunch with ice cream unless you're putting some. You know, like a. It's some sort of
actually
unique
flavor. I actually like the waffle cone a little bit more. Something crunchy.
You also don't like bacon either, right?
It's not that I don't like it. I said that bacon smells better than it tastes, and people get very mad at me about that.
Smells better than it
tastes. The smell of bacon. It's in the kitchen. You're coming down Christmas morning, whatever this fantasy is.
Yeah.
Bacon in the pan smells amazing. And then you eat it. I'm like, I didn't need that.
I think you've been on that treadmill too long. Something's wrong.
I mean, do we really need any of these things that we're talking about?
I'm trying to think. Are there anything more universally liked than bacon and ice cream that Maggie might not like? Nothing's coming to mind.
food. You could bake it in ice cream, and I would be so excited.
It's really good, actually.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. Huh.
This is what makes the world go round, people. Get used to it. I don't like flan. Back to you, CeeLo. You know, actually, can you hold on one second? Totally blew past our ability to do a headline there. We'll get that on the other side. Also, see you guys on the phones. Our great debate question today is, what is the greatest college football play of all time? Let us know. 855-212-4227.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Great debate today. We're asking the greatest college football play of all time. College football playoff starts on Friday. CeeLo has updates for us on this morning. Good morning, CeeLo.
Good morning. And for high quality, high performance golf clubs, apparel that delivers style and comfort, premium golf balls, award winning gloves, and more, make it a PXG holiday for the golfer in your life. Find the PXG store near you at PXG.com. The Milwaukee Bucks cruised to victory in their second ever NBA Cup final last night, 97-81 atop the Thunder. I should say the second ever NBA Cup final. That, of course, taking place in Las Vegas as they used a 17-2 run to pull away in the third quarter, built a 20-point lead at one point, triple-double for Giannis. He had 26, 19 rebounds, 10 assists, while Damian Lillard finished with 23 points. And he says, hey, this might be the in-season tournament, but it's nice to actually win some sort of championship.
You know, I've had a lot of experience individually where I've had accomplishments and stuff, but to, you know, have some team success and win something and be the last team standing in this tournament, you know, it feels great.
On the flip side, rough night for OKC as they shot just 5-for-32 from three-point range. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 8-of-24 from the field.
Yeah, we didn't shoot it well tonight, but it's never an excuse. There was definitely controllables tonight we could have taken care of, and we didn't do so, and that's why the score looked the way it does. We've shot bad in one games before. So it's not an excuse.
So they just shot bad and lost this game rather than shot bad and won it. So we go back to regular season action, which resumes for the league coming up tomorrow night. They also announced the new All-Star Game format, or All-Star Day, Night format, whatever you want to call it, because it's going to be a four-team, three-game, one-night tournament between three eight-player All-Star teams and then the winner of the Rising Stars Challenge. I know you guys talked a little bit about what Kevin Durant had to say about it. Here was the audio form of his critique, we'll call it.
Absolutely hate it. They're terrible. All-Star game, formats changing, all the formats are terrible in my opinion. And we should just go back to East-West.
He wants East-West, though he did at the end admit, hey, you know what, maybe this will be great and I'll end up being wrong. I've been wrong before.
I mean, are we like setting the record for tone-deaf athletes right now? I mean, I thought Aaron Rodgers is definitely on the Mount Rushmore of, you know, calling out ESPN people always on ESPN. Like, this is all time.
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
But now Kevin Durant's like, you know, we should make it the East-West. It's like, guys, when it was East-West, when they did every part of this, no one wanted to play any defense. The game became an absolute joke. You're on the court for that, KD. Yeah. You weren't playing any defense. Scored almost 400 points in a game, which is why they feel like they have to try something new.
Come on, bro.
I feel like everybody agrees with KD, though. It sounds so stupid.
But he, listen, if he wants to call it out, but he also is not an innocent bystander in this. He's been in every one of these All-Star games as it's gotten less and less and less relevant.
Maybe he wants it to stay less relevant. They can just show up, do whatever the heck they want. They don't care.
Which is terrible for the fans.
Oh, of course. I'm not saying he's defending the fans here. But, you know, like if... Okay, they get a little lazy. It's just let's just keep, you know, chucking up threes.
Because there's got to be somebody who actually does want to play. And I mean, think about it.
The Rising Stars.
Right, the Rising Stars. The guys who haven't gotten paid yet. Think about it. The winner of the All-Star Game MVP, whatever, is named after Kobe Bryant. Like, it obviously used to mean something because that now seems like a joke because Kobe would never not care in a way that these guys don't care. Right?
Definitely. Yeah. But I don't think there's anything you can do. I just think, like, it feels like this new format, it's like the NBA is just flailing, trying something, like throwing everything at the wall, hoping something
sticks.
No,
they're trying to put stakes on it, pride, something.
Let's be honest. The All-Star festivities in all four sports are not what they once were.
Who cares? Tough.
I mean, the NFL is doing flag football at the end of the season. Yeah. I mean, the baseball All-Star games had its struggles. The NHL has done similar to this with the four-team tournament. So I feel like all the leagues are grasping at straws with this stuff.
I applaud them for trying something. I liked the Elam ending where they did, it was like a first one to 15 or whatever, 21. I don't even remember. You had to hit a certain, and that actually made it a little competitive, and then they went away from it.
I don't. I think the whole thing is an entire waste of time. Like, I don't care less what they do. I agree with CeeLo. Like, it's like, I didn't even know that the NFL was doing flag football. Like, that is just like, it is a non-thing.
They call it the Pro Bowl games. There's a bunch of, like,
dodgeball
competitions and stuff.
Like that. It's also for kids, you realize. Yeah. Like, it's not really for us.
I'm just a little sad that there aren't more stars in the slam dunk contest. That's my jam. No pun intended.
Yeah, that's been watered down significantly over the years, at least from a star appeal standpoint.
I want to see Zion Williams
from the
get
G
out there
League
and
win it a couple years ago.
Yeah, Mac McClung. Yeah, I want to see Zion go out there and get injured in an actual slam dunk contest.
We'd have to be healthy before it for that to actually happen.
All right, Mr. Grinch.
I mean, honestly, I forget the All-Star game. LeBron not doing the dunk contest is like the biggest slight to this whole thing. Like, come on, dude.
Don't put it all on LeBron. He's not the only one.
No, I'm just saying, I don't care.
He's the one, though.
There's nothing they could do to the All-Star game to make me care at 1%. But the dunk contest, like, if LeBron had done that, that might still be a thing.
What's your active player dunk contest, then? Like, what do you want to see? Like, which active players do you want to see in the dunk contest?
Get 40-year-old LeBron going, Bronny, number two. Bronny would probably be really good.
Bronny can hold the ball as LeBron, like, jumps over him.
That's
you know?
Below the basket.
Wouldn't be too difficult. Bronny's, like, 5'8".
I mean, Ja Morant.
Oh, yeah, he'd be cool.
Zion, if he's healthy. Jeez.
Never healthy.
And but Rudy Gobert.
Really just put the best players in the dunk contest, I think people would be very unhappy.
Number one, Anthony Edwards.
Jaylen Brown was in it last year. They basically tried to rig the contest for him. He was terrible.
But he's not like a dunker. Like Anthony Edwards, if Anthony Edwards was in the dunk contest, has he been in one? He probably has, actually.
No.
Like, that's a big deal. Like, Jordan established the Jordan brand via the dunk contest, not the All-Star game. He got crossed over in the All-Star game, right?
That was a little later.
No, that was a regular season game.
Oh, that was a regular season game? Okay. Yeah. Anyway, All-Star game, nothing. Dunk contest, important.
Sure.
There you go.
This is the rules according to Perloff.
Yes.
And everybody else. Nobody, like, Katie's right in this one. This is idiotic.
He's definitely not right.
Oh, my God. Four teams.
He's the reason why this is happening. Yeah, him and all the players. That's the point. He's gaslighting. I'm so tired of this guy.
He's getting a little bit annoying. Again, the Mount Rushmore of delusional, not self-aware athletes. KD, Aaron Rodgers. We'll pick a couple more. 855-212-4227. CeeLo, thank you very much. I want to quickly sneak in some of our great debate answers, because you guys have some great ones on the board here. The question is, what's the greatest college football play of all time? Sam is in Erie, Pennsylvania, and he has one for us. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how's it going? I'm going to give you the greatest play from the greatest college game, and that would be the national championship game, Miami versus Ohio State. Craig Krenzel threw an interception, and Maurice Claret.
Oh. Sam, we lost you. Keep going.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
When Maurice Claret ripped the ball away from the guy that intercepted Craig Krenzel in the championship game to regain possession and help Ohio State win the national championship.
Yep, the guy was not just anybody. It was Sean Taylor. This is what it sounded like.
Fakes the handoff. Rolling, looking, throwing right side, and it's caught. Intercepted. Intercepted by Sean Taylor in the end zone. Bringing it up the left side, and he's still moving and taken down at his own 28.
We got the ball back. Maurice
Claret fumbled at the end of the play.
We got it back.
Ohio State's got it. Ohio State has it inside the Miami 30 on an exchange twice on the same play.
That was a crazy one. Sam, fantastic nominee there. That was great.
I feel like this is like abuse or something. Harassment.
Because you're a Hurricanes fan?
Yeah. I already admitted to Doug Flutie. And I got to listen to this crap again.
You chose Doug Flutie.
Yeah, but that was way past my time. This play is my villain origin story. Maurice Claret and that guy taking out Willis McGahee's knee. That is why I'm the sourpuss I am now.
At least you know where it started.
Just for fun, just pull up the depth chart of that Miami team. Oh, my God. I think there were like 20 pros on there. It is crazy. Their fourth-string running back was probably like a first-round pick, and they somehow lost that game. Sorry, EJ.
855-212-4227. Quickly, Adrian is in Maryland. Adrian, the greatest college football play is what?
Hey, I got one thing real quick. Hey, Proloff. And it's killing me here, and I got to apologize to you 100%. I apologize. In April or May, you said Penix was going to play this year. And I said there was no way and chance he would play unless Kirk Cousins got hurt. And I bow down to you. I will drive for you to San Antonio. Psych. but you were right, and I think it's a good move. Nobody's talking about it. I think the Washington-Atlanta game is basically a playoff in or out game. Nobody's talking about that, and we'll see from there. But my debate today is, unfortunately, EJ, Miami Hurricanes again. We got the Cornhuskers of Nebraska, fumble Ruski on them, touchdown in the national championship game, 1984.
Adrian, this is what it sounded like.
Third to long five. Heading to the end zone and very close to it was Dean Steinkuhler. He's in for a touchdown. I was totally fooled. The best technicians in the world goes into the end zone for Nebraska touchdown. Now we're going to see how it happens because I don't know.
It was the fumble Ruski. Adrian, thank you so much for the call. Tom Osborne, wow, genius. Genius play. Okay, keep them coming, guys. The greatest college football plays of all time. Got lots more for you, including, big change at QB. Get to that next. M&P.